What I'd like to share with you all this morning is probably what sounded like what's on everybody's mind and their hearts as they prayed. So I'm blessed and thankful that God's working in all of us to go in the same direction. The title of this teaching is Walking as Children of Light. And if you would, go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start reading here in verse 15. It's talking to us, and the context here is the example of our Lord and Savior, how he sacrificed himself, obeyed God's word, did his will to save us. And it says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, the word blameless is unblameable, faultless. It's deserves no censure. That's what this word blameless means. You walk your life unblameable. You're doing the things of God. You live the things of God. You speak the things of God. You walk according to his word. You know, Jesus Christ walked this way. You know, the word harmless is, it's unmixed. It's to be pure. It's not mixed like mixing wine, watering it down with water or metal. It's used also of metal, not putting it as an alloy. It's keeping it pure. You know, the one thing we have in our lives is we do what God says. We live what he has given us to do. Christ lived this way. The world that we live in is corrupt. All right, we're part of it, we're in it. It affects us. Anybody who says it doesn't affect you is either in a bubble or whatever. It does affect us. And the things around us affect us. But we go back to verse 10 here. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. You know, every tongue, every one of us. I have one Lord in my life, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have one master. I have one who has given me his word. I'm to walk in his steps. I'm to walk in his love. I am to walk and try to mimic my life and mimic his. You know, and I got one purpose, and that is to do his word and his will. He's the one that died for you and me. He's the one that suffered. He's the one that's given us healing, wholeness, mental soundness. He is the one that has delivered us from the darkness of this age and brought us to the light of the glorious kingdom to come. And we owe him everything. You know, it doesn't matter where you live, what you do. It doesn't matter what part of the earth you're on. What matters is what our Lord and Savior has given us as a mission. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're to hold forth this word. We're to be the light. Like, go back to verse 16 here. You know, the end of 15, it says, we're in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You ask yourself, are you shining? Are you doing it his way, and are you living it his way, and are you standing out as a light in the world? And the way you do this is you hold forth the word of life, verse 16. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We're holding forth the word of life. The world is owned by the adversary, and that's something we ought to remember. Go to Luke chapter 4. Some days look better than others, but people turn to God. There's deliverance, peace. If they turn away from him, just like Israel, I mean, you go into bondage and terrible times. But the one we serve is our Father. In Luke chapter 4, it said in verse 5, it says, the devil takes him up into a high mountain and showed him, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will, I give it. Now, if this was a lie, the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't have even considered it. But the truth of the matter is, Adam did shift everything that God gave him, the dominion over the earth, he gave it to the devil. And that's why our Lord came, to deliver us from death, to deliver us from our sin, the sin that we inherited from Adam, and to deliver our individual lives. We've chosen him, but it belongs to him. And you look at human history, you look at the whole thing throughout time, you have really seriously evil, terrible times. And then you have little glimpses of hope because, you know, the it says, blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh in the scriptures. And when people, when they have God, Almighty God, our Father, Yahweh, as their Lord, then they live in peace. They're blessed as long as they keep him that way. And when they don't, they don't. It's as simple as that. You and I have that all the time, as we keep him first and foremost in our lives. You know, we can be in the midst of, but he will provide, he will help us, he'll guide us. He just said this in manifestations a few minutes ago. You got no problems. As long as you have your Father at the center of your heart and life, you're doing his will, his word. In, if you would go to Ephesians chapter 4. So we ask God for his help. We ask him for his blessings. We ask him for deliverance. But most of all, it's like I challenged all of you a couple weeks ago to find somebody to hold forth the word to. And, you know, God has provided for a number of you I've talked to, that individual. And that's a really wonderful thing. So you just keep doing what you're supposed to do. You are the lights of this world. You are the light, as long as you're holding forth his word, doing his will, making it happen. And I told you to go to Ephesians. No, I got to go there. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 1, it says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. You know, Paul was in jail. Paul's having like the worst time that you and I have ever had in our lives. He's in a Roman prison. You can't find a negative word in all of Ephesians. You can't find anything except, wow, what God has done, praise, thanksgiving, doctrine, wonderful truths. There's not even a mention of him being in jail, except that he gives this here. He's the prisoner of the Lord. That's both physically, he's in a Roman dungeon, but he's also the prisoner of the Lord spiritually. He is also one who is sold out. I am locked up with him. I beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, It calls it a vocation. It's our job. It is our, I don't know, vocation. It's our profession to walk in the steps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we do it with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. This is the how and what our life is to look like, the how of how to start doing it. It's always with humility. Nobody walks with God outside of walking in humility and meekness. Nobody. God walks with those, and he works within those of a meek and quiet spirit. And those are people who listen and obey and do what he says rather than do what they want to do. It's just how you walk is light in the world. You know, in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." Just follow him. Do his will, follow him, do it as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Love conquers all. You know, whatever you give basically in life, you're going to get. You know, it's, I forget that verse right now. It says, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What is the beginning of that verse? What, you know, but it has to do with giving, you know, so you give, and as you give, God will do it, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Whatever it is that you're giving, he will multiply it back to you. You can't outgive him. If you give a lot of hell, you're going to get a lot of hell. I mean, it's just the law of giving and receiving. Whatever it is you're giving, whatever it is you're planting, whatever fruit it is that you're putting out, good or bad, that's what you're going to manifest an abundance of. and it doesn't matter. It's just the truth. That's what happens. If you walk in love as Christ did, guess what? Love is the most powerful thing there is. Love is the most powerful thing there is. Love is a sacrificial kind of love. Like Christ had for his people, he gave his life for us. God gave him to the world. That kind of love is what we're supposed to be emulating. This is the kind of stuff we're to be doing. And we give it to him as a sweet-smelling savor like Christ did. It's a sacrifice. It's not easy all the time to love. It's not easy all the time to walk in lowliness and meekness, forgiving, forbearing one another. You know, we all have our own opinions. We all have our own thoughts. We all have, I mean, we're perfectly, hopefully, all the thoughts that I've had, I try to line up with the word. You know, we all have our own situations. We all got our own bills to pay. We all got our own families. You know, each one of us is a little different situation, but in practical life, we all have the same vocation, the same ministry, the same purpose, the same hope that is set before us. That's what we're shooting for. That's what we're going for. I'm not going to live another, my goal isn't to live another 30 years, you know? My goal is to enter the kingdom and to be well-pleasing. And that's my goal. however long I live. That's all I want, is to get to the goal line, which is the hope, you know? You know, when I was young, I didn't think about the goal line too often. You know, at this stage of my life, I think about it quite often. I just want to be pleasing to my, I want to go out standing for him. I want to live whatever years I have and however much I can enjoy. I want to do it living for him and bringing others to him. That is what I want. And in the meantime, you know, I love my family. I love being with them. I love the believers. I love the saints. But I got a goal. My goal is everybody in my family getting there with me forever and ever and ever to be with the Lord. That's a whole lot better than a few years down here. You know? Look at verse 3. We walk in love, but here's the opposite on this part, all right? The Lord's very kind to us to give us both sides of the story. We walk in love as Christ also had loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, sexual immorality and uncleanness and covetousness, let it be not once named among you as become saints. He gives us the other side of the picture. You know, these things, they're all of the flesh. They're all of the old man nature. They're all selfish. All sin is selfish, basically. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient. But rather, instead of talking that way, give thanks. Giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You live that kind of lifestyle, you are not going to enter the kingdom. Jesus isn't your Lord. You know, every knee is to bow, because he is Lord. And when you bow, you serve. When you bow, you do what he says. You know, you're in submission unto him. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The individual, the family, the nation that lives this way, God's wrath will come upon. When? That's up to him. You see what I mean? Whether it's now or at the end, that's all up to our Father in heaven. That's way above my pay grade. I don't even guess what God thinks about things sometimes. I just know that what I'm supposed to do. So you submit. Verse 7, it says, be not you therefore partakers with them. Don't go along for the ride. For you were sometimes in darkness, but now are you lights in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all godliness and righteousness and truth. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, all those things. When whatever you're giving, whatever you're walking in, if you're walking by the Spirit, we're not talking about the other stuff. Prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. You know, as situations come your way, you know, like a couple of people got laid off this week, right? Well, you can panic and say, oh my God, what am I going to do? Or you can be, Father, I know you're there. I know you'll provide. show me what to do and where to go and how to do it in peace, in self-control, knowing that your God, your Father in heaven, will provide. He always has. Or you can freak out. Now, what good did that do? I mean, just ask yourself, is this going to get a prayer answered? I know it's sort of silly and ridiculous, but we're all tempted to. The point is, the more practice you have exercising your faith and knowing that God is there, and you listen to his word and you put it on in your head, and you listen to those manifestations we had this morning, and you think the thoughts that he wants you to think, then you have the fruit of peace. You prove what the acceptable will of the Lord is. You prove his word. You know, I just think it's kind of neat. Verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, speak against it. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And see that you walk circumspectly. Put your head on a swivel and walk that circumspect kind of walk. But you're children of light. The word reproves the world. See, there's numerously too many things that are contrary to God's word that are perfectly acceptable in the world that we live in. You know, we got sexual things that are perfectly acceptable in the world that we live in, covetousness, which is perfectly acceptable in the world that we live in, all right, violence. You know, everybody's got a righteous cause, and they may have had a good point when they, you know, started, but then everybody turns it into something evil because they don't do it God's way. You know, you stand up against an immorality against your fellow man, and then you go ahead and burn down somebody else's house. Or you stand up for what you believe is your truth and principle and fairness, and then you go and kill somebody else. You know, I mean, it happens all the time. It happens on every right. God's word is how we live. There's like I said, there's too many things. I mean, they can't even tell that just male and female. That's how God made them, Genesis, right? He made them in God's image. And they got a problem with that. Don't be a part of it. Don't be a part of it. Keep yourself separate from it. When somebody asks me a question, I give them a straight answer, but I don't do it to pound them. I do it to show them the truth. Now, they may pound me because I showed them the truth, but that's what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they did to the Apostle Paul. See, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to love. Because the only way to change this, you know, you go and push against somebody, you want to get your dander up, you know, like I used to do when I was a young man before I knew God and his word. You push, they push just as hard back at you. You speak the truth in love. They may be upset, but you don't have to react. You just love. You just love. You minister. You care. You tenderly deal with, and you walk with God, and he'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to do. And he will give you the power to execute what it is that you need to do. And that much I do know. I don't know how every situation gets handled until I go to my father and ask him, what do I do? But it's got to be with that heart of humility. It can't be with a reaction that I have. Because then, you know, when I react, when, you know, somebody used to say, well, your first thought was a godly one. I don't know. None of my first thoughts are godly necessarily. I have to go back and I have to say to myself, okay, McCabe, what does God's word say? How do I apply what the scripture says? I got to hold myself and not go with my first reaction to anything. And ask the Father, what word do I bring to bear on this situation? If I'm tempted with something, what word in your scriptures do I bring to bear to hold in my heart and mind? You know, thou shalt not steal, all right? You're tempted to steal, this is simple. You're tempted to murder, don't. I mean, just don't, okay? But it's the word that gives me the power to resist. That's how Jesus Christ resisted the temptations. It is written. That's how we do the same thing. It's never my flowing reaction. Because my emotions, your emotions, they're not always godly. They're not always not godly, but they're not always godly. You have to check it. You have to sit, ask. I'm in subjection to my Lord. I'm in subjection to his will. And I need to ask for guidance and for help. See, and then I speak, and then I do, and then I love. You know, and I do my best to do it right. I don't know about you, but I don't always do it always correctly or right. You know, maybe, you know, some of you are better at it than me. I know I'm being facetious, but my point is, you know, we have to, if I'm going to be walking this way, if I'm going to walk as a child of light, then I got to hold forth his word. I got to know the word to do. I got to live his way. Jesus is my Lord. I am in subjection. My knees have to bow to him. You know, plain and simple when it comes to that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14. It says, you are the lights of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, everything we're supposed to be doing when we do it according to God's word is supposed to be leading them to glorify God. Not agree with me. It's to lead people to glorify God Almighty. You know, and remember who he's talking to here. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is way early in his ministry. These were people who were sitting there listening to our Lord, and he's telling them, you are the lights of the world. I don't know how much word they knew, but they are, and they were going to be, just like, you know, I may not have been there yesterday, but I could be there today. You know, it's where are you right now? Where are you right now? And the only thing that brings peace to any individual or family or neighborhood, or is the light of God's word. That is the only thing that brings deliverance and blessings. When you're in the middle of hell, when health is challenged, when finances are challenged, it's the light of God's word that brings deliverance, peace, you know, nothing else. Go to Colossians chapter 3. You got to let the words challenge your life and challenge your mind that are in the scriptures. In verse 1, it says, if you then be risen with him, you believe that Jesus Christ died for you. You believe that he covered your sins. You believe that God raised him from the dead. And because he was raised, you and I will be raised. Then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. You know, set your affection. Set, wow, this is the best thing ever. This is where I want to go. This is where I want to stay. This is where I want to embrace. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For you were dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Blow up. Blow up. Mortify. That's where we get the word mortar from. Blow it up. Blow up, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Go ahead and get a dictionary out and look up some of these words, right? Because, and get one that's got old English archaic meanings. It'll add a lot to your understanding. Covetousness, which is idolatry. See, covetousness, you know, gimme, 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 it's all more, more, more. That is idolatry. That is worshiping another god. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which you also walk sometimes when you lived in them. But now you also put off these. Anger. Well, ask yourself, what are you angry about? A lot of people are angry these days. They're angry they got to wear a mask. They're angry they can't do what they want to do. I mean, it goes from the ridiculously, you know, I'm angry, I can't get out of the house as much as I want. And Rex, what are you doing? What are you doing? Set your affections on things above. Just the circumstances of our lives should not rule our minds. Anger, wrath, malice. You're thinking bad things about, I'd love to get that guy. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Don't lie to each other. And this is talking to the church. Don't lie. And have put on the new man. Put on the mind of Christ, the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It's renewed in the knowledge of God's word. In the image of him that created him, the Almighty God. See, when you walk in light, and when you live light, you are living the life of God. You are living his word. You're living his word. You beam forth as a light to the world. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. When you walk according to the light, you can have a lot of other designations, but you know what? None of them mean anything else. You got God in Christ in you. Christ is all and in all. So it doesn't matter what language you speak, what background, how old, how young, Gentile, Jew, anything. And those are the things that everybody's so interested in out in the world. Everybody wants their own little designation. Well, why don't we desire God's designation? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Not as long as it just suits you. It's when it doesn't suit you that's when you're really putting it on. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all things, that you put on charity, which is the love of God, which is the bond, it is the cement. It is that which binds all things together of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body. And God bless, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. What else? I mean, you just think about it. You read that chapter again nice and slow. And ask yourself today, right after we're done, read that chapter again nice and say, is this what I'm living? Or, have I been slipping on a few of these words? And if you don't know what the word means, get a dictionary. Seriously, do a little of your own work. Don't just ask Google or Siri or whatever. You know how lazy I've become now? I'm thinking about a word and I can't figure out how's that spelled? And I hit the button and I say, hey Siri, how do you spell this? I mean, now we're getting lazy. That's you don't even pick up the dictionary and find it. But challenge yourself. This is who you are. This is who we are. We are to walk as children of light. Our Father is in heaven. Our big brother, Jesus Christ, has died for us, and he gave us the perfect, beautiful example written and shown to us in the scripture. Walk in his steps. Walk in his steps. Challenge yourself in your own head and in your own heart. Am I being merciful? Am I being kind? Am I being forgiving? Or do I still got a grudge? You know? What is it? Does each, when I tried, to, I made up in my mind, I guess it was years ago, that every time I met a new person, they started out at 100% in my life, right? So, they were going to be perfect people. And then as we talked, they got down a few notches, they came down a few notches. Well, this one's like a 25% person here. But I had to choose to still long suffering, gentleness, meekness, love. You know, not everybody meets expectations. Mary had tremendous expectations of me when I was when we got married. I might have ended up 25%. But she still has the love, mercy, commitment. See, I mean, do you see what I mean? And that could be day by day, you know. You start out, everything's great, and then all of a sudden you have a blooper in your marriage, you have a blooper in your life, and all of a sudden you went from 100% terrific spouse to a 25% spouse. And then you still have to forgive, and you still have to be long-suffering, and you have to be merciful, and you have to speak the truth in love, and you have to care, and you have to let things go. I mean, we got to do this in our own life. We do it in our family life, with our spouses. We do this with each other. We do it with the world around us. We're here to serve. We're here to be ambassadors for Christ. For God is in us. Christ is in us. And their mission is to reconcile the world unto him. That's what they're into. That's what they will help us do. Not be selfish or covetousness. You know, so that's what I wanted to share with you today. I ask you for your continued prayers. Pray for everybody. But, you know, pray for people to rise up and speak the word. Pray for a whole new generation of men and women to teach and to preach everywhere on the earth. Everywhere. Why not have another great revival? It always happens in the midst of trouble. You know, I mean, the first century church really started to move the word when they got persecuted pretty good. And then, you know, why wait for that? Why not just ask God to do this and help us? So I love you all very much. Look forward to talking to you sometime. And please, I would love to hear from you. And because that's the biggest part of this fellowship that I miss, is the ability to be able to talk to you face to face, to share our lives together. So if you get an opportunity, maybe give it a shot. And I love you. So let me close with a word of prayer. So Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. For all that you have given to us, Father, help us to be committed. Help us, Father, to walk as lights and to shine as the lights of this world, my God. Help us to walk in your love and your goodness, your grace, the steps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, my God, to glorify you and bring others to know you. So I praise you, Father. Thank you for how you take care of us and watch over us. Thank you for watching over all of your children and taking care of their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.